Welcome to the Magic on the Inside podcast by the Sisters Enchanted, where we chat magic, hot topics, personal development, and good old-fashioned life. Brew up something delicious and sit with us for a spell. Welcome to this episode of the Magic on the Inside podcast. I'm Sarah, the founder of the Sisters Enchanted. And today I am changing things up and I am chatting with another Sarah. She is part of Team Sisters Enchanted. She is part of our student success and content team. She's also one of our astrology teachers and a longtime community member here. And today we are talking about frequently asked questions that Sarah gets as one of our astrology teachers, and also just some stuff that might help you on your learning journey as you navigate the wild world of astrology, whether that's in a class or just trying to figure out what all of those cool internet memes mean for you. All right, so sit back and listen in. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Okay, so Sarah, I just introduced you and said that you are one of our astrology teachers, which is true, obviously. Make it up. So let's start. Can you tell us a little bit? Well, firstly, Sarah has been on our podcast before in a different capacity, and she's in our community, and you are part of our content creation team. So you help write classes and do all sorts of cool stuff. And you write our weekly astrology forecast now.
Yeah, on the astrology blog. Yeah, forecast blog. Which is loads of fun.
Yes, you're very busy. And plus you have your own stuff going on, and you're an author in your own right, and all this coolness. So why don't you start by telling me a little bit, just to let people who might not have heard from you before, let everybody know kind of how you came to astrology and what the impact, I guess, that has had on your life so far.
It's interesting because I'm a psychologist. My background, I'm a psychologist. And I love Carl Jung. I'm actually writing a book about Carl Jung. It's one of the books I'm writing at the minute. Like, it's funny because you talked a lot in the podcast last week about asking for what you want in the right way. Like, I've always been into writing, and I've always been like, I want to be a published author. So be careful what you ask for, because now I've suddenly got about four books I'm going to be writing all at once.
So
be careful what you ask for, like you said last week. So obviously Carl Jung was interested in astrology. And I had a very Christian upbringing, and these kind of esoteric things were off limits and out of bounds for us as we grew up in our household. But kind of astrology kept coming back to astrology because Carl Jung used astrology, of course, with his patients. Like, he found it was more accurate than questionnaires and so forth. So then when you started Expedition Astrology, it was like, yeah, I really want to learn astrology, because it's kind of like for me, as with a psychology background and a science background, and also being interested in the esoteric, now I'm free of my sort of family's bounds. It's a science. It's kind of an esoteric science. It has that scientific underpinning, but at the same time, it's exciting, and it's you can tell so much about yourself and about someone, but it kind of has that ancient scientific underpinning as well.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And I'm definitely like not the astrologer of our group. I always say that I am not the astrologer. I think I can possibly hold my own in a conversation, but I'm not going to be the one teaching it to anybody. And just a little bit that I have learned from hanging out with all of you and listening to you teach and everything that goes on in our astrology program and just reading the forecasts and whatnot, it really has helped me to understand perspective and how other people behave, and how it's not, and not everyone's out to attack me or ruin my day. Like, they just are who they are. And
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I've said this before, I think on a podcast, but like, my partner is Aries through and through. He has so much Aries in his chart, and he is a very typical Aries in many ways. And like, it just understanding, like, I kind of, if I didn't understand astrology, I'd be like, whoa. But now it's kind of like, okay, look, I'm not going to deal with this Aries energy right now, because I know that I can't win against it. So you just need to go and find a way to calm down. I'll come and see you in 15 minutes, you know, because he does have the Aries headstrong. And obviously at the moment we're in lockdown, and to be for an Aries to be kind of like cooped up in the house and not being able to do the things that they want to do,
yeah,
it's really difficult. And like for example, now as well, we're in Mercury retrograde in Aquarius, and the way that you really can see where Mercury retrograde or any retrograde is impacting you the most is the planet that it's the sign that it's in, sorry, and where that sign is in your chart. And I have Aquarius in house 7, so I know that at the moment there's loads of planets in Aquarius in a minute, and there's loads of energy there. But with Mercury retrograde as well, I know that at the moment our interactions and misperceptions are even more challenged. So I'm able to be like, okay, look, it's cool, I'm misunderstanding you because Mercury's in retrograde and it's messing up with my house 7, and I'm just gonna just take a step back and like, what have you really said? What's really going on here? And like, actually I'm misinterpreting you, I'm really sorry. You know, it gives you that ability on a day-to-day basis. But you're right as well, that ability to understand other people. And I've got a really, really crazy before, which is my house and my upbringing, and I've always felt my upbringing that was wonderful but challenging at the same time, like most of us. And it's I've been able to make so much sense of that with the birth chart and fix a lot of hurt and better my relationships with my family and other people. So it's just so useful.
It is. It's so true. And I, with my husband, he's an Aries sun and a Capricorn rising, and I have a bunch of planets in Sagittarius. So I always am like, oh, we don't need to worry about that. That's fine. You know, I don't worry about, we go on vacation, all the little things, like we can just buy one over there. What's the big deal? You know, we don't need to bring the whole medicine cabinet, all these emergency supplies. And he is so, like strong willed and what he wants. And then that Capricorn rising, he is like preparedness. He has checklists. He emails me checklists. He goes, he brings everything just in case. And I used to take it personally, like that he was, cause he would say, oh, you just don't care. You don't think enough or something. And I would be like, you know, that's not a nice thing to think about me. And then I realized, I was like, well, actually he's right. Like, I don't care, but that's true. I don't care about that. and I was taking it so personally as if he was putting me down. And then learning astrology, I really realized, well, no, he's not wrong. I don't care. You know, we'll find a gas station or something that sells Tylenol if we need it. Like, someone's going to have it. We're not going to a third world country here. You know, we'll have resources at our disposal, where he is like, no, you never know. Let's be prepared. And but astrology helped me to understand that it's not like all this stuff I always took personally, that it's not, it's just different perspective. You know.
That's true. That's making me love inside, really, because I'm such like you. I'm Sagittarius. We've discussed this a lot. I have a lot of Sagittarius planets too, but I am a Capricorn house 6. And I remember watching when this pandemic, I remember seeing it when it was just in China, and I was the one like, right, we're buying lots of paracetamol, toilet roll. This is going to come to us, and we've got to work out what's happening, because my son and both of us are extremely clinically vulnerable. So I thought, I can't look after him if I'm sick. So you should go to your dad. And we've got, like, I was the one buying up all the paracetamol every week. I wasn't panic buying to stop anyone else getting it. Just one packet of paracetamol every time I go to the shops. my Capricorn really is. So that Sagittarius, I'll be fine. Capricorn house 6 really, really kicked in there.
Yeah,
and everyone was laughing at me saying, don't be silly, and then they're all like, oh yeah, you were right.
Yeah, no, that it's so true. It is so true. My husband, the Capricorn, he's the same way. He started he started stocking up on stuff, and I was like, all right, now listen, this is a little extreme. Like, how much how much of this do you think we actually need? And he's like, you never know. Anyway, so
that's true. When we're talking about husbands and like relationships here, it's funny because when we talk about misconceptions of astrology, one of the biggest misconceptions is that it's just all down to the sun sign. But actually, in relationships, it can be your Mercury sign can be really important, because that's how you communicate and that's how you perceive communication. So I always say to people in relationships, look and see where each other's Mercury are, what sign Mercury is in, because that enables you to kind of see how they need to be communicated too, and also to help you perceive their communications to you. Because if you're a like Mercury in air sign, for example, you want people to be able to really explain things, to tell you things logically, to kind of be very, very verbal about things. Whereas if you had Mercury, say, in an earth sign, you might kind of be better communicated and perceiving other people's communication in that more kind of hands-on demonstration kind of a way. And that can really impact relationships a lot when you don't understand each other's Mercury sign.
Yeah. And now I'm like curious as to what my husband's Mercury is in. I'm trying to find, I have all my family's birth charts on my phone, but they're so buried between, as everybody these days, don't we all have, everybody just has too many things. You can't even keep track of them, what they are. I don't know. I'll have to look here. But yeah. So speaking of misconceptions, that's one of the reasons that we're here today, is to talk about misconceptions. So one is that you're a sun sign for sure. And that's your be all end all. And it really, like you said, is not. So what are some other things? So in teaching our class, what are some other misconceptions that you often see that people have? And I know I definitely, when you talk about too, the idea of having to memorize everything.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, definitely, like you say, sun sign, that the sun signs are be all end all. Absolutely not. I mean, and people say, well, I'm nothing like my sun sign. Well, that's fine, because you might not be, and you might be feeling more like your sun sign one minute and not the next, because there might be a planet that's transitioning your sun and squaring it or opposing it and making you kind of like feel a bit of a struggle with yourself and all these things. So that really is like, because your personality is made up of sun, moon, and ascendant sign, and then we have these other planets that are influencing the way we think and the way we desire and the way we assert ourselves in the world. So you are, it really isn't just sun sign. And that's why a lot of these, when we read our horoscopes in magazines, it's like, well, you know, that's not me. That's everyone who's Sagittarius. And it's like,
right,
you need a kind of more personalized horoscope for sure. And obviously studying astrology enables you to be able to do that for yourself, to be able to like do these personalized transit horoscopes as you go, as well as understanding your birth chart. Other misconceptions, like you say, that you have to memorize it all. No, you don't have to memorize it all at all. As the more you practice, and that's something we say to our students all the time, just keep practicing, keep on interpreting charts, because the more you do, the more you will remember. It's like learning a language, I think. Mm-hmm. You're not going to learn a language and have a fluid conversation immediately in that language. You're going to need to look things up and have that little, you know, if you go on holiday, you have that little phrase book and you're looking things up, and that's absolutely fine. But the more you use that language, the more fluent you get, until you get to a situation where you can just look at someone's birth chart and read it without having to look things up. But that takes time, and it takes time of practice, not just through the learning, for sure. That really is a big misconception, I think. In general, some of them, I get misconceptions. I think by the time people come to study astrology, they kind of realize that they're going to accept it. But I get misconceptions that it doesn't fit with every religion. And that's so not true as well, because you don't have to have any particular spirituality or particular religion to understand astrology. I think it kind of sits alongside everything, because it's not undermining anything. It's even if you're kind of Christian, well, okay, yeah, you can say God created that moment for me to be born, and God decided what moment I was going to be born, and this is the chart that fits with that. And also, that, you know, in the Bible we talk about the three wise men, and we just had this Yule, this great conjunction, which is the star that the wise men followed in the Bible, and lots of historians believe that they were astrologers. So it kind of it predates religion, so I kind of feel like it fits with any religion. Free will, that's another big one, that people believe that that's the way it is then. So this is my birth chart and that's it. That's exactly the path I have to follow. And that's not true, because certainly in Western astrology, we believe that you have free will. We had a really interesting chat on our office hours with our astrology students at the weekend that I did, on how come I'm an identical twin and I have the exact same chart as my sister, yet we're so different. And that was a really interesting question, because that's because your experiences are different and the choices that you've made throughout your life are different. Therefore, you know, where you are is different. So you can have two identical birth charts, and it will be different, because we've got free will and we're making different choices all the time. I always say that the birth chart is like your map and guide. But you don't have to take that guide. We were talking about going to Florida earlier on. It's like, I've been to Florida. It's one of the places in the US I've been to. But if someone said to me, look, here's a map of how you get from this airport to where you're staying in Florida, and this is a guide to all the parks, so this is what I recommend you do, this is an itinerary, I could say, well, you know what, I'm not going to do that, because I think there's a much prettier route by the look of the map. I could take that route, and also I don't really want to go to do that itinerary, I want to do things a different way.
Yeah.
And I'd still experience Florida, but I would experience it in a different way from the roadmap. So it is a map and a guide. You don't have to stick to it, but it certainly, as we've said, it certainly can help your life, and it can certainly help you to discover what your purpose in this life is and some of the blocks you're going to encounter, some of the strengths you have, some of the talents that you might miss, some of the opportunities you might miss if you follow the guide.
Yeah, it's really interesting that so when you say that is a misconception that your chart is who you are, but then I think if you look at that and then the people who say, well, my chart, I don't feel like that at all.
Yeah.
And I know in my life, I pulled up my chart and I pulled up my husband's chart too. and in my chart, I have Mars and I have Pluto in my fifth house in Scorpio. And anytime a professional astrologer has looked at that, they have had serious questions as to whether or not, like, my ability to parent, to be with kids without screaming at them and losing my cool. Like one person who, I wasn't there, it was a woman who hadn't done astrology for a while, and then she had some things go on, and she was an older in her years, and one of our other astrology teachers, Nick, he volunteered to sit with her and just like let her flex her skills as part of, you know, staying active and whatever. And he asked if he could bring my chart with for her to read. And I was like, yeah, sure. I don't care. You know, whatever. Anyone can read my chart. Anyway. And her exact question to him, she looked at him and said, is she allowed to be alone with her kids? And because I've had similar questions where people are like, whoa, you've got like, that seems heavy there. And what's interesting is that people who know me, I used to work at as a preschool teacher, me and 10 3-year-olds alone during the day, like singing songs and dancing, doing art projects. And Anna will tell you that I have more patience for all of our kids together than anybody else in our family. But what's interesting that you say this is, on the surface, I would say, well, yeah, I have patience. But when I start to really think about it, it's actually been a lot of hard work for me to have that patience, a lot. And I think that some of the decisions I made in life really threw me into having that patience. Without me chasing it down, you know, I like end up working with kids with learning differences and oppositional defiant disorder. And it wasn't through that I had to learn how to take deep breaths and walk away and not just keep yelling at a kid who wasn't going to, you know. Anyway, so it's interesting because that is, when I look at that in my chart, I can see to me where I'm like, well, no, I'm not a rage monster yelling at kids. But then when I really think about it, you know, I have had to, over the years, really learn to tame my temper. And Anna will tell you, as like a teenager and a middle school kid, like ages 9 to 13, I was one of those kids that just, I had a raging hot temper, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that is, I can see where I could look at that and say, well, that's not me. Or if somebody's telling me, well, that is you, you know, that fits that misconception for me in both of those ways.
That's interesting, because I would look at to see whether you have anything squaring with Mars there, because if you have planets that square with each other, then quite often it means that the energy between those planets is really pulling against each other. And quite often it takes four kind of, it's a bit like a boxing ring. Imagine four rounds. So four rounds of these planets squaring up against each other, and one of them's going to win over the other one before that kind of, there's a harmony between those planets. So sometimes when we have that situation through our life where you kind of, like you say, you've learned patience, it could be that there's a planet squaring with a planet, and you've had four particular experiences that have taught you that those two planets can live in harmony. So there's all this really interesting stuff in birth charts as well to look at.
I have no idea how to tell that, but it is. Before I had my daughter, because I worked with kids with learning differences and who would often have emotion, like trouble managing their emotions. And I took a training. So I'm a certified positive discipline educator. So to teach other educators and parents about, you know, the idea of disciplining through positivity rather than discipline. And that was even before I had kids. So it is, it's so interesting just how, I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. I'll have to, I'm sure you've seen my chart before, but I'll have to, you can tell me what the actual thing is happening here.
I will do.
Yeah, it's not the be all end all, you know, like, and also though, there is, I can look at that and say, well, you know what? I have actually learned a ton through my lifetime. So maybe I was set up that way.
Oh, we do.
And grew.
Absolutely, we do, because for each of the different signs that the planets are in, there's kind of like a journey. So it's a bit like when we talk a lot about shadow work in Sisters Enchanted, there's a light and a shadow, certainly for every sign. But also there's a journey between kind of being new in that sign and immature in that sign. And like, so for example, with Aries being really headstrong and impulsive and struggling to actually cope with that energy. And then you kind of through life and, well, through life, but also depending on, we don't want to get too technical here, but depending on where that is in your chart as well. So kind of whether it's in a mature, if it's a further on in the degree, so it's more mature, but certainly leave all the technical stuff out. But even just for our lives, we learn how to deal with that energy. So you kind of like through life, you've learned how to, say for Aries, how to actually harness that energy into being a pioneer and being a leader and being, you know, being able to kind of like get initiated on projects and get people on board with your enthusiasm on projects. So we certainly do kind of learn these lessons over our lifetime for sure. So you could be quite different if you do a reading with someone who's younger and someone who's older.
Yeah, I think that goes, plays hand in hand with what we talked about, a misconception around memorizing too, because you might, you know, somebody might have these ideas memorized and they look at Mars and Pluto and Scorpio in the fifth house and their memorization tells them one thing, but then actually being able to put the story together based on conversation and what else is happening could tell you a different thing.
That's really important. And that brings us to intuition as well, which is another misconception.
Yeah.
It's the idea that the chart is, we've said that there's free will, but even the chart as it is, and every astrologer is going to give you exactly the same reading, which isn't true either, because it's an intuitive science. Mm-hmm. So somebody might kind of come up with a slightly different interpretation that's still right, but it might be slightly different because their intuition is telling them something about you as well and something about that chart, which is really interesting. And that's what I find really amazing, when you kind of read for someone and they're just like, how on earth do you know me? Like, sometimes you might look at, for example, house three, that's siblings, and say, oh, I think you've got two siblings. Or you might be able to tell us, when you talk about stories, you might tell a story of their childhood through various factors in the chart, like where their father is and their mother is, and how, what that tells you about nurturing, and say, well, it looks like you might have had some kind of breaks in your nurturing, and you might have been nurturing a sibling, and these kind of things come up, and people are like, wow, that is me. And as but sometimes you might see that in a chart, but you might not actually think that that's the story here. It's really interesting how you kind of get that intuition as well, and it does tend to be right. So I think certainly being an astrologer, you do need to work on your intuition as well, and let that intuition flow as you're reading the chart too, and what stories that you're going to focus on and the stories you're going to tell people.
Yeah, so true. So you got any other things that you stumbled upon from teaching astrology, misconceptions or frequently asked questions people have?
So we talked about memory, talked about intuition, and the idea that you can get different readings from different astrologers. I think also because I think it's developing as well. I think that's important, that astrology is developing. People think, oh, let's like read an old astrology book and it's going to be exactly the same as if you read an astrology book that's written this year. I mean, again, we talked about this in the office hours. We talked about Chiron, which is an asteroid in the chart, and it's where it shows your deepest hurt and something that is so painful that you can't even look at it, and it's the wounded healer, and the only way you can heal that hurt is by healing other people in your lifetime. And it's interesting because when you talk about Chiron in a reading, some people know exactly what that is. It usually is a hurt that's happened early in life, but some people are like, oh yeah, I know exactly what that is. And it can be one of those moments when you do a reading that is a little bit awkward, but there's certain things in the chart, you know, you could get emotional with people, and you're kind of tiptoeing it around, and you kind of get a feeling like, how deep can we go? That's why I like doing face-to-face readings based, really. And some people can get very emotional, and like, I know exactly what that is. And so when we talk about how it's developing, because I kind of am beginning to think of myself in my own intuition and how I'm developing as an astrologer more and more, that Chiron can be an ancestral hurt or a past life hurt, because some people have no idea. They just cannot identify that whatsoever. I was doing a reading once with somebody, and she had Chiron in Aries in house five, which is like, so Aries is this kind of like how you're asserting yourself into the world, the very first zodiac sign, getting started, pioneering, and it was in house five. So it was kind of like the house of play and childhood and fun and recreation. And we were talking about this, and she had absolutely no idea, nothing in my life. And then all of a sudden, she suddenly just, this is crazy, I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I've suddenly got this urge to tell you about concentration camp and playing with another child, and something went wrong and someone got hurt. And it was just kind of like, wow.
Wild.
So I don't know if that's past lives or ancestral, yeah. But so that kind of thing, I think that's another misconception, that you could kind of start feeling like, is Chiron ancestral? And you could research, and if you couldn't find anything, there's nothing to stop you doing your own research,
mm-hmm.
and writing, you know, your own ideas, and even writing your own book. You know, it's emerging still. It's something, yeah. You know, you can still kind of like have ideas, and different astrologers will sometimes interpret things in different ways. And you know, I've heard, for example, different things, like I've heard for ascendant and rising, I've heard some astrologers say how it really is about how you're perceived in the world and how you interact with the world. I've had other astrologers that really want to hone in on the idea that it's what you're rising to be and your soul's purpose in life. So there are, again, different ways, different astrologers will have different ideas, and that's particularly fine as well. And
yeah, it's interesting, because you can, I feel like you could look at your birth chart like once a quarter forever and constantly learn something new about yourself. Or
absolutely, that is so true. I'm trying to get into the practice at the minute of looking at my birth chart every day and looking at transits. And like, for example, today is a new Mercury cycle, which is really exciting. That's today when we're recording, not today when it goes out. So on the 8th of February is a new Mercury cycle, which, because Mercury is in retrograde and conjunct with the Sun, so when Mercury in retrograde conjuncts the Sun, it's a new Mercury cycle, which will last about 4.5 months. So I looked at my transits just because I'm a writer, and as you've said, I write content, and I'm a kind of communicator, teacher, so I kind of very Mercury kind of things that I do. So I was like, okay, so let me do a transit chart to see what this cycle, where I need to focus in for this cycle. In fact, when this podcast goes out, is even, we've got one of the biggest astrological events of the year, which is Saturn square Uranus, which is huge, and that happens about every 13 years, and they call it the bone breaker. Because it's like Uranus is going to really break, it's Uranus, the planet of change, square Saturn, which is our planet of structures, and it can really break those structures. But the thing is, again, and that's another misconception, people go, oh, that's really scary, I don't want to even think about that. But actually, we can use that energy. It might be a sort of people might think of something's a scary energy, but we can use that energy, because it's a time to make changes.
I need to like set up a time for you to look at my birth chart with me, because my my Saturn, my Uranus, and my Mercury are all together as part of my Sagittarius stellium in my
right, so you are going to feel this big time. You're going to feel next week's going to be a big week. But it's
my sun sign too.
It's going to be a big week. But it's like retrogrades and these kind of big, these big kind of conjunctions and these big oppositions, we can use that energy. So like, but this week is a really good week to be thinking, what changes do I want to make? Because they can be, with that square, then they can really be setting the new foundations of your life. So be
sounds
careful.
You're stressful.
It's not good, it's not stressful.
You're stressing me out. I'm supposed to be somewhere, I'm supposed to be on vacation next week. Well, on a vacation, I'm supposed to be traveling to vacation, please.
Vacation. But that energy is going to be around all year though, that because they're both slow, some low moving planets, so the orb of that is around all year,
so everything's just going to be changing all year for me.
That's for the good. Better perfect. For the better,
perfect. Well, actually, you know about the inner workings at the Sisters Enchanted, and yeah. We're making some changes.
Yeah.
So, and
yeah,
you know, while I'm not the entity that is Sisters Enchanted, those changes stem from me. So, you know, maybe it's that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all good. It's all good. That's the thing. That's the people get really frightened about certain things in astrology, but we can always use that energy. And that's what's so good about studying astrology, because when you know there's something like that coming up, then you can use the energy, because you know it's there. So it's like, okay,
yeah.
So what do I want to change that I really want to form solid structures in my life, rather than just letting Uranus do its unexpected changes and things just being thrust upon me?
We have a lot of changes in the pipeline that are small but big changes, you know, big changes in the way we do things, mostly like our structures, big changes to our structures, really.
Exactly. That's perfect. Yeah.
And then I was worried about, speaking of being worried about things, my husband and I, both of us, our moon sign is both in Aquarius. We both have an Aquarius moon.
Right.
So Mercury retrograde in Aquarius. I was like, oh, great. But so far it's been okay.
I know we've had interesting, it definitely, because I've got Aquarius is my house 7, like I've said. So it has been like interesting. I understand why, so it's fine.
My house 7 is empty. It's so, just talking to you right now, like so many things that I don't actually look at my birth chart that often. I always just ask Anna. I'm like, Anna, tell me what's going on, what I need to know. But my 7th house, there's nothing of significance in it, but it's in Capricorn, and my husband's a Capricorn.
Ah.
Right. And then I was looking at my, my house of siblings, and it's ruled by Leo, but it's half of it is in Virgo, and Anna's a Virgo.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Right. And, but I have nothing in there. It's empty. Like my chart's all heavy on one area. But it's interesting how that, just looking at it now, and then my house that has Mars and Pluto in it, they're in Scorpio, but that house is ruled by Libra. My dad's a Libra.
Interesting.
And when I was such an angry middle schooler, right after that, I stopped talking to my dad for I didn't see him for 5 years and didn't talk to him for 3. So
there's a lot there. Yeah.
Just talking to him, like, there. Well, there you go.
There's a lot there. It's really interesting.
It's right there in front of me.
It is. I've done readings for people like that. I've had readings where they've had quite an interesting kind of like story, and I kind of really didn't want to kind of go there, because it's someone that you don't know, and you're just like,
yeah,
I don't know if I should sort of, like, I feel a bit awkward going, I feel like I'm delving right into your secret diaries. But then they were like, yeah, this is so true, carry on, because then it's, you know, it is the more astrology you do, the more you realize that it's so right. I hear it time and time again, how are you in my head, how do you know my life so well? It's like, because I've got your map and guidebook in front of me, and I'm showing you.
So it's so interesting.
We had an interesting, my eldest daughter, they finally asked me to do her birth chart for her just before Christmas. And I phoned her up straight away, because we've had, like, my youngest son, some people know, my youngest son has had 2 multi-organ transplants. So they've had a difficult upbringing, my girls. They've been, like, mum's been here and there and in hospital for months on end and all this kind of thing. And it was really interesting, because we have the same ascendant and are in Leo, and then all our houses all the way around the chart are ruled by the same sign. So that showed me that, kind of, because we could be really, really tight and great, and then we can wind each other up big time. And I said to her, that's because each of those signs, like I said before, has a light and a shadow. So when we're seeing the light in each other, we're just like, yeah, you're great. But when you're showing that shadow, you're showing me my shadow.
Yeah.
So, you know, in each situation. So if you're showing me kind of the shadow of Aquarius in house 7 in our relationships, then you're really winding me up. Or if you're showing me the shadow of Taurus in our house of, like, goals and careers and achievements, then you're showing me my shadow.
Yeah.
Right where it hurts me the most. So that's why we can really rub each other up the wrong way as well. So that was really good for us to understand as well, because it's like that really helped us both to see kind of why we can really wind each other up sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I've never looked at my chart this way before. I'm going to have Anna listen to this, because now my mom, like, you speak of mother and daughter, my mom, she's a Sagittarius, sun, moon, and rising.
Mm.
And my whole chart, my 1 through 4 are all empty for me, but my rising sign is Cancer, which is that like nurturing mother energy. So if my mom's, you know, I have all those Sagittarius things, but my mom's sun, moon, rising is Sagittarius, right? And she was always like adventurous, wanting to go out. But my rising is like nurturing, being the mom, like I've always been like the, you know, the more in our relationship, I've been the more mother person than my mom has. So it's so, it is so interesting. Oh my gosh.
There really is, like you say, you can look at your birth chart every day and discover something that's really relevant and new.
It is true. Now I'm going to be staring at it all. Well, no, I'm not. I'm just going to think about this and be like, I learned so much talking to Sarah for half an hour today. Well, Sarah, any last words for around misconception, anything that you thought of that we didn't mention?
Best line, I mean, we could say loads, we could talk about loads. I would say just get in there and look at it, learn it, you know, because there's so much. We could just go on forever. We could talk, we haven't talked about lunar nodes and how your lunar node, like people say that sun signs are most important and lunar nodes are really important because they show your exact path to destiny and they're a good place to start. There's so much we could say if we had all day. So I would say, you know, learn, get in there and learn astrology, because it is life changing. It's totally life changing to learn. It's the best way to understand yourself. It's the best way to learn about yourself and for self-development and to learn about other people. It's just the best tool. And like Carl Jung was just amazing psychologist, and he can't be wrong. Like when he was like working in his psychoanalyzing and therapeutic situations with people, if he couldn't work something out and he couldn't work out how to understand somebody and how to best treat somebody, he looked at their birth chart.
That's so wild. Yeah. It really is that good though.
It is. It absolutely. It's incredible.
Just is. Well, all right, Sarah. Well, thank you for hanging out with me today. I appreciate it.
It was fun. Right. I always like talking astrology.
I know. All right. I'll see you around.
Yeah. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening into this episode of the Magic on the Inside podcast. And thank you to Sarah for joining us today. If anybody here is interested in learning astrology, now is the time, my friends, because our Expedition Astrology program is open, doing a live group intake right now. You can find all the details at thesistersenchanted.com/Expedition Astrology. And you can hang out with Sarah and our other teacher, Nick, and Anna, and our community managers, and all the good stuff happening over there, including all the other students and office hours. And it's so much goodness. But so thank you for listening in. And until next time, I hope that you have an enchanted rest of your day ahead.